set, Chuck?
All set, Mayor.
Yes, thank you.
Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2020. Clerk, if you'll call the roll, please.
Counselor McCormick.
Here.
Counselor Genatino.
Here.
Counselor Cuddy.
Here.
Counselor LoCastro.
Here.
Mayor Quill.
Here. Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We remain standing for a moment of silent prayer reflection. Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Clerk, public announcements.
Thanks, Mayor. We have one announcement this evening. Notice is hereby given that the assessor of the City of Auburn has completed the tentative assessment rule for the current year on March 15, 2020, and that it may be examined by any interested person online at the city website, auburnny.gov. And the Board of Assessment Review will meet in a teleconference hearing open to the public on Wednesday, April 29th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. to hear and examine all complaints in relation to assessments of any person believing themselves to be aggrieved on the written application that met the April 4th at 12 p.m. noon filing deadline as published on March 13, 2020 on the City of Auburn website and March 17, 2020 in the Auburn Citizen newspaper. Those interested in attending the online teleconference meeting must pre-register no less than 2 hours prior to the start of the hearing to ensure that adequate time is provided to approve their registration. Links to the registration can be accessed through the city's calendar webpage at auburnny.gov/calendar. So you will then need to select the appropriate meeting, and on that meeting page there will be a link. I can show it to you here on the website. Terry, I'm going to try to share the screen so that maybe you can see it. So if you go to our webpage, on the homepage, the middle tab there is calendar. So you'll click on the calendar tab. Then you'll find the meeting that you're looking for. And the announcement I just made was about the Board of Assessment public hearing. So you'll click on that. It'll take you to the meeting notice that I just read. And for the next few weeks, while we will have to use these teleconferencing things, there will be a link that's at the top of the page. And people can click on that link to register for the video conference, teleconference. People do not have to video in. There will be options there to just call in. But you will. The only thing that you're going to be asked to put into that link is your name and your email address. Within the day, we will email you the information. Or if you register at the deadline 2 hours before, we'll email you the information within the hour probably. And then the teleconference for this Board of Assessment review hearing will start at 1 p.m. There was only 16 cases this year, so we don't expect it to be too busy of a process. Usually those bar review public hearings are sparsely attended as it is, even when there's hundreds of cases. So, and that's how it'll be for any meetings that we have to have over the next 2 to 4 weeks while we're still in this COVID-19 mode, including the CDBG public hearings that we'll be having in May, and that's on the manager's announcement for that. When you do click on this link, there's, I'll just to show you, you'll see where it says the meeting, then you'll find the register button, you'll click on register. That's where it'll ask you. The only thing you're required to fill in is the name and the email. If you want to put the other stuff, you can, but you're not required to. And then once you fill out that information, you will very simply click on the submit button. That'll send the information to us. Anybody have any questions on that? It's pretty straightforward. So at the auburnny.calendar is where you'll find all those notices. I know we're going to plan to try to do the planning board that way in May. Public CDBG public hearings and whatever else might come up before we're allowed to reopen. That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. What if an individual wants to work with the assessor's office? They do not have an email. Can we make accommodations for that? Or
the assessor's office phone number is listed there as well, which is 315-255-4125. Okay. So yep, they should contact us to make any arrangements.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Diger, employees leaving city employment.
Thank you, Mayor. All of that activity has been in the police department this month. On April 4th, Sergeant Greg Dan retired from the Auburn Police Department. And in an effort to fill some vacancies, the police department hired Connor Gray and Alexis Smalley on March 27th, and they are currently attending the police academy. That's it.
Very good. Thank you. Best of luck to Sergeant Dan and a long, happy, healthy retirement. So. Mr. Clerk, Arbor Day proclamation.
Thanks, Mayor. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, which we read last week, and tomorrow is Arbor Day. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees. And whereas this holiday called Arbor Day was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in the state of Nebraska. And whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a source of joy, spiritual renewal, and beautify the community. And whereas trees express the order of the nature and show us all the strength of diversity and the advantages of interdependency in adapting to a changing world. And whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas the city of Auburn is fortunate to have benefited in recent years from the Grow Auburn's Trees program, which was created in 2002 and annually organizes dozens of volunteers each planting season to plant trees throughout our community. And whereas since its creation, the Grow Auburn's Trees program has planted over 1,000 trees in our city and has helped to publicize and promote tree care in our community. And whereas 2020 marks the 140th anniversary of Arbor Day, and the day is now observed throughout the nation and the world, therefore, Michael D. Quill, Mayor of the City of Auburn, New York, on behalf of the Council and citizens of Auburn, hereby proclaims April 24th, 2020, as Arbor Day in the City of Auburn.
Thank you. And one more proclamation for Workers' Memorial Day, Mr. Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. Whereas the first Workers' Memorial Day was observed in 1989, and whereas 50 years ago Congress passed the Occupational Safety and Health Act, and more than 40 years ago Congress passed the Mine Safety and Health Act, promising every worker the right to a safe job. And whereas trade unionists around the world now mark April 28th as International Day of Mourning, and whereas every year tens of thousands of American workers are killed by workplace injuries and occupational disease, and whereas tens of thousands more are permanently disabled while millions are injured or made ill, and whereas this year the COVID-19 crisis has brought to the forefront of our community and our nation a profoundly deeper appreciation for the many workers that are essential to our daily lives, including our health department staff, emergency management, nurses, doctors, and all hospital support workers, nursing home workers, police, fire, sheriff, ambulance, 911 dispatchers, correction officers, postal workers, teachers, newspaper, TV, and radio reporters, maintenance workers, housekeeping workers, food pantry and human service providers, refuse collection, water treatment, sewage treatment, DPW, and all government support workers, truckers delivering goods, grocery store workers, restaurant staff, child care providers, and the many more that keep showing up daily to keep our community and country going through this crisis. And whereas this year's Workers' Memorial Day theme is Protect Our Rights, Speak Up for Safe Jobs, and during this national crisis, it is even more important that we stand together against the ongoing attacks and workers' rights and protections. A climate of fear impacts everyone's lives at work, and when workers are punished for speaking up against unsafe working conditions, everyone's safety is at stake. And whereas we believe every worker has the right to a safe workplace to memorialize those workers that have paid the ultimate price, we encourage all Americans to prevent these tragedies by doing the following. 1. Observe Workers' Memorial Day next week on April 28th as a day to remember these victims of workplace injuries and disease. 2. Renew our efforts to seek stronger safety and health protections, better standards in enforcement, and fair and just compensation. And 3. Rededicate ourselves to improving safety and health in every American workplace. Now, therefore, be it resolved, Mayor Quill, Mayor of the City of Auburn, on behalf of the City Council and the working men and women of Auburn, do hereby proclaim April 28th as Workers' Memorial Day. And Mayor, I will let you know that usually the Central New York Labor Council here in Auburn and Mr. Bill Andre has been the contact for that for the past few years, organize a ceremony on April 28th up at Hoops Park. However, this year that ceremony will not be taking place, but we will be doing stuff next week with our city social media and stuff to recognize Workers' Memorial Day. And we contacted Bill about the resolution tonight, and he sends his appreciation and sends his best for the mayor and the council and the city of Auburn. So thank you.
Thank you. I've attended that ceremony every year for the last 12 years up to this year. So Councilor Genatino and Councilor McCormick, I know, have been there. Councilor Castro, I don't know if you had it or not, maybe, or Councilor Cuddy, but it's a moving day, and so we'll get back to it next year. Yep. Thank you, Clerk. Mr. Clerk. Approval of the meeting minutes from April 2nd of this year. Do we have a sponsor? Councilor Genatino, seconded by Councilor McCormick. Corrections, deletions? Hearing none. Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Councilor McCormick?
Aye.
Councilor Genatino?
Aye.
Councilor Cuddy?
Yes.
Councilor LoCastro?
Yes.
Mayor Quill?
Aye.
Carry.
Thank you. Mr. Diger, City Manager's report, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a few items. First thing is just a reminder to the residents of the City of Auburn that the city is following directives of the New York State Executive Order for Municipalities to reduce staffing and promote working from home as is practical. While City Hall is closed to the public to reduce exposure for both our employees and the public, we are still conducting business of the city with changes in place to limit face-to-face interaction. Our police, fire, ambulance, municipal utilities, code enforcement operations have also been modified to reduce employee and public exposure and to protect our workforce and avoid any type of quarantine or isolation that could significantly negatively impact our workforce and their ability to provide service. I've heard some rumors that folks thought we were closed. It may look that way at times and seem that way, but we have implemented policies and procedures to comply with those executive orders. We received some good news this week in that Tessie Plastics is planning to convert its warehousing operation in Auburn to manufacturing to meet a need for coronavirus test kits. And while we're happy to hear that news, we've reached out to Tessie to make sure their endeavor can move ahead as quickly as possible. There's also been some recent speculation about the fate of the Auburn Double Days. I want to make clear that as of this time, the negotiations between Minor League Baseball and Major League Baseball are still active and dynamic. We've also heard the rumors and are discussing potential impacts of the outcome of those negotiations for the 2021 season. We were and are supposed to have a 2020 season. We're very aware of the precarious situation we're in with the 2020 season, with restrictions on mass gatherings in place due to the COVID-19 situation. So we've also been discussing plans or options should the current season be postponed or canceled. Our plans have not been set in stone as the situations related to COVID-19 and the professional baseball negotiations are continually changing. The Auburn Double Days is an independent business, or LLC, that is supported by the City of Auburn. Last season, the city's support of the team was to provide a grounds crew during the season, but most of the actual operation of the Double Days is funded through ticket revenue, advertising revenue, and concessions. In the off-season, Falcon Park is funded through our agreement with Cayuga Community College and is not dependent on whether or not they have teams. So our investment last year into the upgrade at Falcon Park is largely self-sustaining with the agreement with Cayuga Community College. The operation of the Double Days, again, is for the most part self-sustaining and dependent on those different sources of revenue. It would be premature at this time to consider that our 2020 season is canceled, but we are getting precariously close to having a situation where we'll have difficulty ramping up in time to have a typical baseball season as we know it. So we're keeping an eye on those things and trying to remain flexible and keeping an eye on what the future holds for us. Related to the CDBG funding, the funding that we typically would have, as well as the additional funding that we anticipate receiving through some of the federal stimulus packages, public hearings related to the use and distribution of that CDBG funding will be held on Monday, May 11th at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. via a WebEx and conference call. Details about that call, the call-in numbers, and the meeting format are forthcoming. They will be posted on the City of Auburn webpage in the next couple of days. That webpage also contains a link for a survey tool related to the use of CDBG funds as well. And the last thing I have is that we anticipate a gradual reopening of government and businesses amid this COVID situation. And we're in the process of installing some barriers here at City Hall to reduce the risk of exposure and enhance security. The barriers will resemble what most of you probably have seen in retail establishments and will be installed in a manner that takes into consideration the historic status of the building. So from everything we can tell with discussions going on across the state and across the country, businesses as well as government will be able to reopen incrementally with appropriate safeguards in place and policies in place. So we're trying to get ahead of that so that when we're advised we can begin to reopen for more face-to-face interaction, we'll be in a good position to do that. Thank you. That's all I've got.
Very well. Thank you. Reports from members of council, councilors?
Counselor. I just got one question.
Of course.
With the college being closed, does that impact contract that we have with the college by any means?
When we were in contract negotiations with the college regarding Falcon Park, we were aware that there was some concern from staff, the council, the public about what might happen if they weren't able to field a particular team. So that is not part of the contract. The contract doesn't say that if they field a team that they'll pay the lease or the rent on it. It's an annual agreement regardless of what their status is.
Thank you.
Anything from the council? No. Counselor, there's a couple items that I have. The clerk and myself sat in on a video conference today and included Senator Gillibrand, Congressman Katko, can't make this up, a Dr. Corona. From upstate, so it was upbeat, and they were reaching out to find out from all of us what we need, what we want, and what we'd like to do. So it was an informative meeting, and thanks to the clerk for setting up the teleconference. And also, I spoke with Roland Beck from Tessie Plastics today, so expressing our thanks and gratitude for them coming, they're enlarging in Auburn, and they were very excited, and it sounds like a whirlwind process, but I'm sure they're very capable of it. So 200 jobs, that's quite a few jobs to bring back at this day and age. So our thanks to Tessie Plastic and everyone else involved. So. Mr. Dyger, I'm going to turn it back to you, I believe, for bar graph reports.
So thank you, Mayor. We've got our monthly update on what's going on with the current year's budget. I haven't actually had a lot of time to look through that in particular, but we have daily discussions. Rachel Jacobs, our comptroller, and I have daily discussions not only on budget development for next year, but on our current situation. Our expenditures are pretty much where we'd expect them to be. We aren't seeing a lot of growth in expenditures at this point. We've put in place a freeze on spending all but the most necessary things over a month ago, and that will continue. That's typically something that we would do in May, but we implemented that a month or more ago related to the COVID situation and knowing that we were going to see a decrease in sales tax revenue more than likely. So our expenditures are leveling out related to that, and the big unknown at this point, as is the case everywhere, is where our sales tax revenue will fall. But we continue to watch that. There has been a reduction. We get those reports every couple of weeks from the state. We are seeing a reduction, but we don't have enough data. There hasn't been enough time gone by at this point to really identify a trend in that.
Other than sales tax, are there any other areas that send up red flags that we could be a little bit short on?
Well, we know that obviously there's not a lot of folks downtown right at the moment, so, you know, parking fees and things like that, which are a very, you know, they're an important part of the budget, but they're a small part of the budget. So we know those are going down. A few of the fees related to code enforcement. Code enforcement's still working, but certain things they're not doing depending on what the situation is. So we've got a few other things that are going to impact the budget as well.
Thanks.
Excuse me. On that topic, I know that when we sent the resolution, I think number 52, to our representatives, we included a letter that included forecast of those decreases and all those revenues, including parking. So we are taking those into account when we are lobbying our federal representatives for that much-needed funding.
Council, at this point, is all the business from the council, and with your permission, I'd like to start out here if no one has an objection. I sent this by email to all the council members earlier this afternoon. I hope you've had a chance to review it, but I'd like to read it into the record. Okay, I'd like to read this into the record, and then we can have a discussion in regards to it. Council members, we have discussed several budget scenarios over the past 2 weeks. This week is a time to give our manager some final direction that he can use to bring us an updated budget next week. This evening, I would like to propose the following budget parameters for our staff to work with so that they can return to the April 30th council meeting with their revised version of the budget. Mr. Duggard, I have a copy of this for you also, if I make it easier. Sales tax revenue. We have tossed around many scenarios on a potential impact to sales tax revenue. We do need to unfortunately anticipate that we'll be seeing a reduction in this revenue line. If we were to phase the impact over the next year by quarters of our budget year, from significant impact to moderate impact, I think we would have an estimate to use in the budget. Therefore, the proposal is as follows. July through September of this year, a 12% decrease. October to December of this year, a 9% decrease. January through March of next year, a 9% decrease. And then April and June of next year, a 6% decrease. total average decrease for the overall budget year would basically be 9%. We should also use the most recent sales tax revenue actual numbers to calculate this decrease. Use of fund balance. We have been presented with the question on how much fund balance would be comfortable amount to use. We have adopted a fund balance policy which is designed to guide us through situations like this. I think we should restrict the use of fund balance so that we maintain an amount that meets the minimum of our fund balance policy of 10% to 13%. One reason why we maintain the fund balance is to have it in times of need, which this budget is such a time. Providing the city manager used the above parameters to draft a revised budget, there will likely be necessary reductions. I would like to ask that these reductions be reported back to us along with the April 30th presentation of the revised budget. It will be necessary for us to see the list of reductions and explanation for what the impact is in our department's services. I also ask that the city manager report back to us on potential for other savings, such as what would be saved if there was no Auburn Double Days, for example, in the 2020 season and other scenarios. So Mr. Dygert, I'm going to turn this back over to our council members, but I'm sure you probably have some questions for us. But councilors, would you care to weigh in or hold off for the time being? Or councilor?
Sure, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you for this proposal. I think that it sums up what we've been giving as guidance over the last couple of weeks. This budget season presents us with a lot of uncertainty. What is certain is there's been a lot of work that's been put into it by city staff, as there is every year, that the city manager and the comptroller right down through the organization since this crisis hit have been very fiscally responsible, have put a halt to all spending, anticipating that this is going to have a significant impact on us, like it is every other community. I'm fully in favor of this. I think we do need to budget a decrease in sales tax. I think that's inevitable. I think this is a fair compromise based on the numbers that were recommended by the New York State Association of Counties. I'm hopeful that we will come through this okay, but it's going to be painful, and we all know that. And we just need to be fiscally responsible. We need to tighten the budget. We need an austerity budget. And I think this sets us on that path. So I appreciate your guidance on this, for putting this together, and I'm in favor of this path forward.
Thank you. We had a lot of good people working on it. Councilor?
I agree. I think it gives us a little flexibility, because straight across 12% still is going to be tough to do. It's going to hurt because we're down to bare minimum now, and we have to keep essential services, police, fire, city workers, city public works workers. I think everything we do now, there isn't a lot of gravy. It's essential. Most of the people that work for the city, all of the people, I've tried to brainstorm things, because that's the major part of our budget. But the things that are going to have to go, I think, are they'll be cut and hopefully restored if things go better than we expect, would be things that concerts, things like that, that we spend money on that are great. It's a part of our quality of life. A lot of the things that we do in our parks, our Casey Park pool, things like that, I see those as things that would have to go before you would start to talk about anything more severe than that. And this gives us the flexibility of this. So I'm hopefully staff is able to work with it in a way that won't affect essential services. Thank you.
Council Castro.
Other towns or cities our size, are there any secrets or anything that we can grab from them, other areas that they're doing that we could do?
Secrets?
Yeah.
No, the mayor's been doing his thing for a long time and has a lot of connections throughout the state and through NICOM and all that. And we've been on some conference calls with NICOM related to a variety of things. I'm involved with some groups of municipalities, and everybody's kind of in the same situation right now, right? There's so many unknowns that the duration of this situation is an unknown. What the overall financial impact is an unknown, and there's a variety of ways different municipalities are going about things. Some municipalities seem to be taking an approach to take drastic measures right now. Others are taking the approach that the city of Auburn seems to be taking right now, and that's to try to remain steady and consistent and not shake up one more aspect of life for our workers and for the people in the community. So I do spend a tremendous amount of time scouring things throughout the state to try to figure out, you know, where is there someplace else we can squeeze a little bit out of. Our comptroller's been fantastic trying to find out, you know, where we can trim here and there. But in all honesty, our current comptroller, our previous comptroller, and our department heads over the last several years have done such a good job of trying to make an efficient operating machine. The city workforce and the services that we provide, there isn't a whole lot of waste, and that's subject to people's opinion about what we provide for services, but the services we provide, we do it in a very efficient way. And we're going to try to continue to do that, tighten our belt for a year or two, get through this, and not rock things too bad. It's been my experience, and the mayor's been here longer than I have, and Councilor McCormick's been in different roles in the city, but it seems as though in my experience when there's been abrupt changes to service without the appropriate level of consideration of all the ramifications of that, sometimes we cost ourselves more money and more headache, and it's hard to re-implement things that were important in some cases. So we're certainly taking it seriously. Our department heads have been great about, you know, offering up this is where we can cut in this department or that department to the extent they can and still maintain the services that the community expects. I'm open to anything anybody's got, though. If you've got a thought or an idea, throw it at us.
If we have to go into cuts, is it cuts in all the departments, or are there certain departments that are going to be cut, or where do we stand on that?
It depends on what do you mean by a cut. Do you mean a cut in the amount of a budget for a department, or are you talking cuts as far as people?
Will the department heads come to you with their cuts? Will
yes.
Each department head come to you?
Yes, and that's what we did this past week. We'll refine that a little bit more over the next few days. What we did last week when we left this meeting Friday morning, we convene every morning at 9:30 in the morning throughout this whole situation and talk about things related to our response to the COVID thing, budgetary issues, all the things we normally talk about. We're just doing it more often so that we don't miss an opportunity or miss a problem. So on Friday morning last week, we had a discussion based on council's input, and our department heads were asked to come back to us, to the comptroller, by noon on Tuesday with areas where they could cut their budget, because it does not make sense. I've seen it happen, whether it be, no offense, but whether it be the council or the city manager or the comptroller cutting a departmental budget based on an artificial number that's just pulled out of the air. It doesn't work because we don't know how that impacts an individual department's operation. The best people to do that are the department heads. They know where the money is. They know where the efficiencies are. I prefer to do it that way. And it's very difficult. In the past, I've seen it done where people are told, departments are told, you've got to cut 25% of your budget. We'll share the pain and everybody cuts 25%. But that's not realistic. Based on some departments, I'm looking out there and I see our corporation council has a staff of two besides herself, where other departments have multiple people and provide multiple services. 25% in some budgets is much different than 25% in a different budget. So I think that's it's important for the people in the public to know those things as well. But our department heads have been very good and open and honest and realistic about expectations and what we need to do to get through this.
Thank you.
Councilor Cuddy, do you want to weigh in, sir?
Sure, Mayor. Thank you. I just wanted to say, I know last week we, we floated the idea of a 12% flat, and I know that it is very difficult for the staff to do. And I think that, you know, your compromise in understanding that, there needs to be some recognition of loss of tax revenue. Plus this also, you know, gives a little bit of hope in the latter part of the budget year that things are going to improve. I hope that is the case. I approve, Mayor, of your suggestion, and we'll look and see what the staff comes back with, and as far as the response to your recommendation.
Thank you, Councilor McCormick. You brought up a great point a little bit ago about Auburn, the quality of life with our parks and our concerts in this day and age is something we really need. It would be great for everyone to get out and go to a concert or just walk to a playground or a park, but excuse me, I'm losing my voice, I'm not sentimental. But in today's day and age, we can't do it, but that doesn't mean they're going to be closed forever, and we want to be prepared when we get the green light to reuse that. So, Mr. Dygert, if you have any questions or comments?
No, I appreciate, and I'll speak for Rachel unless she wants to, and we should probably actually find out whether Rachel has any questions or concerns, because she's the one that will put this together. But I appreciate the input. It certainly makes it easier for us to put something together when we have a framework and some directions from the council. And as I'm sitting here, I've been writing down a few other notes that we'll look into over the next few days as well. I don't know if Rachel has any questions.
Rachel, do you have any questions for myself or council?
Good evening. No, I do not. I think you answered everything.
So you have it all figured out, and you'll have it on Mr. Dygert's desk in the morning, correct?
She just sent me an email.
You didn't see me smiling when I asked you that, Rachel, so we'll let it go. Anything else in regards to the budget, councilors? Councilor Cuddy, you good?
Okay. All set, Mayor.
There's no public to be heard, so do we have a request for executive session?
Yes, Mayor, we've got...
Actually, I got a couple other things if I could bring up another business.
Please.
I'm sorry, Mayor.
No.
Actually, there's a few things. This pandemic has affected every aspect of life for all of us. One of the issues, I think, nationwide, not just in our community, that's been affected is the increase in overdoses in our community and overdose deaths. The sheriff, Chief Butler, Dr. Duckett, who's the county coroner, and Joel Campanola last week put out a press release addressing the fact that there were 4 overdose deaths in 8 days, which is troubling. The assumption is that people are not accessing the services they need during this time. And the point of that press release was to let people know that those services are still out there. I don't know if we were able to share it on the city social media platforms, but if we could add it to the city website, and I'll pass it along to the clerk, I would appreciate that. I want to say that from the press release, there are a number of avenues for help for people. And I just hope that we can communicate this to people. These facilities are taking new patients. They're treating them in person via telehealth. There are all kinds of avenues to get that help. And if we can just communicate that as often and as frequently as we can, I just think we'd all be better for it. The other reason I bring that up is I'm wondering, with this increase, I know it's just not in Auburn, I know it's nationwide, One of the primary tools we have in fighting this is Narcan. Do we anticipate any shortage of that in our community or nationwide, and what can we do to get ahead of that?
Counselor, no, not that I am anticipating. You know, it's readily available not only through the state, but the avenues and the availability has been widespread to the community at large. You know, most individuals, if they want it for their own home, they have an addict that lives with them. They can definitely get that. So as part of the Healing Community study that I actually just participated in a conference call today specifically on this topic, that is one of the avenues that we're looking at is spreading the outreach and availability of Narcan in public places, much like an AED would be in a restaurant in case of a heart attack. Be the same type. That's something we're looking to, you know, the feasibility of spreading that availability as well. And just to add to, if I may,
sure.
We did have the county just outside the city had another overdose today. Luckily, Narcan was available, and appears that the individual is going to be okay, but took more than two doses to bring that person back. So that, coupled with the availability of mental health counseling as well, telemedicine for that as well. I was just mentioning to you prior to the start of the meeting that we, you know, mental health calls and suicidal calls, we're seeing definitely an uptick in those. Had a pretty serious situation at a local gas station today with an individual threatening to harm himself. That put, you know, not only my officers in a precarious situation, but obviously it was a call for help from this individual who came from another county to our county and ended well, but, you know, definitely something we're seeing a big increase with this pandemic.
Thank you. The second item I had is it's been reported by the state that supplies of masks are going to be sent to every county. Has that occurred?
As far as I know, I believe this county did receive a significant supply of masks yesterday or sometime this week.
Do we know what the plan for dispersing those? Is a certain percentage going to go to the city since we're a third of the population?
I'm not sure if Chief Fritz has that answer or not. He's been in communication with emergency management and the health department pretty much on a daily basis.
Good evening, Mayor and Councilors. This afternoon I received 500 cloth masks from the county. The county itself got issued 27,500 masks in total. These 500 that I secured are going to be for city employees, elected officials such as yourself, our civilian boards, so that we can start to conduct business once some of the restrictions are reduced. As far as businesses go, they can contact the emergency management office directly, and they will get those masks to them. Both the police chief and myself have also offered to assist in delivering those masks to local businesses if that's what they need. So I would suspect that's going to start rolling out here over the next week or so, where businesses will be able to call the emergency management office, request masks for their workers, and then if needed, the police and fire department will assist in delivering those masks to the businesses so they can protect their essential workers.
Chief, as a follow-up to that, I'm aware of a local company, a very small company, but they have the masks. They were given the masks by the county. Whatever it means, I have no idea, but they are starting to roll out.
Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Deiger, and I know that you have periodic calls with the county. If you could ask, as they go through that supply, if they have available masks, if they would work with maybe the city to get those to some of the underserved populations. I know through the school district, they're distributing meals, BTW is distributing meals. Maybe that would be an avenue to get some of those masks to those who are underserved in the community. And the third and final item I have, Mayor, is in regards to the latest federal stimulus plan that was voted on in the House today. Last week, we passed a resolution number 52 of 2020, requesting that direct aid to states and municipalities be included. Unfortunately, it was not included. Not only was it not included, there was some troubling commentary out of Washington regarding this aid and whether or not it's needed. The Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, actually said that states should file bankruptcy, which is appalling that an elected official in the position that he is in would say that. Thankfully, our representatives have spoken out pretty forcefully and said that that is not an option. I also signed up for that webinar today, and it was actually the first question. And I was glad to see that Senator Gillibrand responded very forcefully, saying that's not an option. Congressman Katko seemed to be on board as well, saying that there is a need for that funding to come to states and municipalities. You know, I would ask anybody watching who's concerned about our local budget, concerned about the economy in the state of New York, to reach out to our federal representatives, just like they do to us. They can email them, they can call them. They're in recess right now. They won't be back until in the Washington until May 4th, so I'm sure they'll be looking for something to do. And I encourage everybody to reach out to them and let them know that, first of all, that talk is nonsense for states to file bankruptcy. Second of all, you know, when you talk out of one side of your mouth saying that frontline workers should get extra pay, but then say states and municipalities shouldn't receive funding, which we're going to use to pay those frontline workers, it just makes no sense. So I would like Auburnians to know that we're on top of that. We're communicating with our federal representatives. I know that Senator Schumer's office has been in constant contact with the clerk with updates, and we appreciate that. So, thank you.
Thanks for bringing it up, Counselor. I did have it in my notes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I didn't do it. I had my opportunity, but thank you for that. Depending on what TV station you listen to, you get a different spin on what's going on in our country. So it's interesting just to listen at all. I don't want to say don't pay attention to any of it, but you have to pay attention to some of it. But be mindful of what you're paying attention to. All set.
Thank you.
Counselor Cuddy, all set.
All set, Mayor. Thank you.
Do we have a request for executive session?
Yes, Mayor. I've got a request for two matters made confidential under attorney-client privilege.
Very well. And I'd like to add a personnel issue to that list, please. At this point, I'll entertain a motion for executive session. Mr. Clerk, if you read it back, please.
Sure, Mayor. Two matters pertaining to or made confidential due to attorney-client privilege, and one matter pertaining to the employment history of a particular individual. 6:50 p.m.
Councilor Genatino, second by Councilor McCormick. Clerk, if you'll call the roll, please.
Motion for executive session, Councilor McCormick.
Aye.
Councilor Genatino.
Aye.
Councilor Cuddy.
You're muted.
Yes, I apologize.
Councilor LoCastro.
Yes.
And Mayor Quill.
Before I vote, how are we going to do our executive session?
Just stay in here.
Same as last week, Mayor. You'll just stay right here.
Stay here.
All yep.
Right. Very good. Thank you. And everyone else will be off the line with the exception of Councilor Cuddy.
I believe a couple of the guests on the line are here for executive session.
Very good.
The other thing I'll let everybody know, too, is earlier on the report, Jeff talked about the CDBG. That survey is on our webpage quite prominently, right in the front, and we've got an email going out about it tomorrow, too. So basically, we've got the next 2 weeks where we're trying to reach out to all the not-for-profits for that feedback.
Very